You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Dan Le Batour Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Chris, that's great. I want to get into that because your father, there's nothing he's prouder of than being a Hall of Fame voter. And I do believe that the reason that he is allowing Bagwell into the Hall of Fame and all of the steroid cheats before that were out of the Hall of Fame is simply because his son loved Jeff Bagwell as a child, and that son must not be betrayed by Jeff Bagwell by being a steroid user. So your father, who has a Hall of Fame vote, I no longer have a Hall of Fame vote because I hate how they've treated the steroid users. I lost my Hall of Fame vote. Greg Cody has that Hall of Fame vote, although he says it's not that vote. It's his own vote. It has nothing to do with me losing my vote. Regardless, the point is we had a change of Supreme Court justices and Trump snuck in one of those alt-righters and changed the entire voting system. I got kicked out, and now Greg Cody is in. Greg Cody has softened some on should steroid-tainted guys like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens be in the Hall of Fame. But the guy, you guys see who might get in? You guys see that only one person might get in? And it is the person that would be amazing in terms of making for copy and controversy and talk radio. It is the person in these inflamed times, a guy who left ESPN, too hot for ESPN because he was not woke enough. And now he's gone the route, Kirk Schilling has, of being a total right-wing nut job who's totally scary, like a really scary belief system that you've seen all over our country in ways that make people fight. And so I'm reading here from Ben Carrington on Twitter, and he writes the following, because we've been fighting with words for a while here in a way that seems silly. I've told you before, snowflake by itself, nice, delightful thing. No one had any issues with snowflakes. Then it got weaponized as one of those words. Woke just used to mean awake. It wasn't something that was weaponized. It wasn't negative. And so Ben Carrington is writing, and I bring this up because Kurt Schilling is the guy. I don't know. Is he going to get in, Greg? Do you think Kurt Schilling gets in, gets to make a Hall of Fame speech, which, of course, he would use to talk about some of the things that he believes that are very far right? And and lunatic fringe stuff.
Yes, yes. I don't think anybody's going to get in. I do think Kurt Schilling is going to come the closest. Based on early voting, he's right on the border. The last time I looked, he was like 74.9%. But historically, early voting tends to be a little bit more liberal. And later voting tends to
that's
be...
That's even with Hall of Fame stuff? That's what I was hearing for the last 2 months.
Right. Well, I'm just telling you what I've read and heard about the patterns of voting. So my prediction would be nobody gets in, which would actually be a pleasant surprise. But if anybody does, yeah, I think Schilling is the one who has a chance. And Bonds and Clemens, by the way, are going to get a record high number of votes in their next to last year on the ballot.
Your son was making a joke there, Greg. He was saying liberal. You meant liberal as in far reaching in terms of getting votes and not being too high a standard. He meant liberal as the politics of our time. And I do wonder, Greg, honestly, I wonder if Curt Schilling might be kept out of the Hall of Fame, not because now steroid-tainted guys like Bonds and McGuire or Bonds and Clemens and the Hall of Fame, but he might not get in the Hall of Fame because of his politics. Like, that, yes. They might not want him to make... If these gatekeepers, the sanctimonious people who have kicked me out of their club, I believe that they might vote for a guy as less than because they don't believe in his politics and they don't want his speech on a baseball stage. I do believe that that's something that could happen, don't you? Because I've seen him railing, and not incorrectly, by the way, about a media member in Philadelphia, a late media member who is no longer with us, who was very critical of Curt Schilling and then had a past that included pedophilia before we were smoking that stuff out. And he's like, see, there's the hypocrisy. Look at the people who vote on my greatness. Look at what they have in their closets, and they get to vote on whether or not I was great at baseball. I understand why Schilling would object to that kind of sanctimony. I also understand that if you put Schilling at a microphone as the guy who's always been called Red Light Curt and the guy who was one of Barbara Walters' 10 most fascinating people when he was doing all this winning, that guy probably deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, no matter what you think of his politics, because he did what he was doing, not on steroids. Like, you have to be objective there, Greg. You can't allow... It's the reason I left that club, Greg, is because they were telling the steroid cheats how immoral they were when I knew any one of us in that position would have chosen a fountain of youth, that all of the voters, that's the reason I stepped out. That's the reason I did the thing that I did.
Yeah, I make my ballot public every year, and I did vote for Curt Schilling. Now, his politics I abhor, so I'm not happy to have voted for Curt Schilling. But I did, because I think he deserves it, particularly when you look at his postseason performance when the games were biggest. It's just off the charts good. And I don't think he's, you know, a Derek Jeter first ballot guy. I think he's a little bit borderline. But ultimately, yeah, I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, as much as I hate to say it in terms of my own politics and my own views.
Well, what he has, and this is not a small thing, right? Because I think this works against something like the greatness of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has some signature plays, but Aaron Rodgers doesn't have these time and date stamped drives that you remember because he's always in a pressurized situation. You might fear Aaron Rodgers for being great. You don't fear him for the same reasons that you fear Tom Brady, which you've seen him in the last 2 minutes of a game a million times go down the field. Curt Schilling has moments, Greg. He's got signature Hall of Fame moments that echo across time. And you could sit here and quibble with maybe regular season record, or that he was closer, I think, to 200 wins than he was to 300 wins. But that guy won championships. That guy was part of baseball's storytelling narrative that writers should appreciate, because he was able to be great at the greatest of times while he was injured. So it's been a bummer to me, as somebody who has liked, and I imagine this has happened to a whole lot of people across a whole lot of generational spaces in America, where you find out about someone's politics and you get dismayed in a way where you're like, oh, that's not what I thought you were. Like, I love talking to you. I thought you were interesting in counterculture. I didn't think that that stuff was also, hey, let me put on a mask for my racism because it makes me comfortable to protect white power at every turn, no matter how racist it is. And so I ask you this to the group, and I ask it to Greg Cody. Ben Carrington writes the following: cancel culture is a floating signifier from the same conservative lexicon as political correctness, playing the race card, chip on the shoulder, and identity politics. There is no actual referent other than its political use, which is to reinforce right-wing ideology. They're words that, and certainly the left and liberals have done this too with now with Karen, right? We've done this with Karen where we have dismissed someone with, Karen by itself is a word that's not weaponized. It's been weaponized now. I don't know right now as I listen and read people. I ask this question sincerely. Put this on the poll, please, Billy. Is telling someone they're a virtue signaler, is that virtue signaling? Is that also virtue signaling? Because now we're just weaponizing all of these stupid words so that we don't actually have to have a difficult conversation of when Curt Schilling gets at that microphone, what are we going to do when his identity politics are racist?
I mean, we're pretty sure it would be funny and kind of hypocritical that generally the party of separate sports, no one wants to hear your politics with sports, is usually the right. And it would be pretty hypocritical of Curt Schilling, who I think is stood on this platform before of keep them separate, to all of a sudden do it, but he's got a bone to pick. I think it's a kind of cyclical thing now, what you're seeing and what you just referenced, where it's in that same vein of we're intolerant of people's intolerance. But the right does have a pretty rich history, as that article pointed out, of co-opting phrases. What does fake news mean now? Because Donald Trump changed the meaning. Fake news was actually an important conversation to be had. I'm constantly talking to my grandfather, who's a right-wing conservative, who's constantly being tricked by the internet, because if it's on the internet, it must be real. It was a major problem. It had influence in the previous election. But now fake news means you're lying about a story about me. I don't like it. Fake news. And that's the meaning.
Well, if I may, Greg, because I don't know how much difficulty you have had in your own life, in your own family, among your own friends with what these discomforts are. But this part is uncomfortable to me, and I'm going to explain it to the audience in the name of transparency, because going through the last year that we have gone through, never mind pandemic and crisis and everything else that's going on, okay, as I've had some stuff happen with my family that I'll tell you about at some point, but was really super uncomfortable and private and a little bit nuts and just too private for me to share right now. But I will try to talk around it some so that you understand some of what just happened in America as it relates specifically to Cubans in this country. And as you saw, and as many of you heard, because we're a national show from Miami, I mean, I think if you were listening, you heard Billy Corbin got a movie made during that time about Cuban Americans on HBO that got made very quickly here out of Miami, because he wanted to explain to people as a gringo how weird it is that this particular faction of the country, Miami Cubans, growing up with these old people who believe these articles, these old people who don't know what news is supposed to look like because they come from a propaganda state and they know not to believe anything because people were listening on their phones and pictures that were in the media when Fidel Castro was coming up, stuff wasn't real. And so they just learned to develop a healthy distaste and distrust of the government. And somehow we're ensnared in that particular orange racist turd's not subtle racism, because the greater fear to them than racism was, I don't want to lose freedom. And Donald Trump somehow, even though I'm looking at it, Greg, I'm looking at it and I'm like, how does Donald Trump, how can that possibly represent something that's protecting freedom to you? How can it look like that? How's that what you're seeing? And it's because they came from communism and I didn't, Greg. It's because they've seen some things that I haven't seen. They suffered things with propaganda that I wouldn't understand. They fled that because they wanted freedom, and freedom has looked like America. And to me, we spent the entire year with freedom feeling like it was under siege.
Yeah,
to
but
to them, to older Cubans, what it ends up feeling like, Greg, excuse me, is like freedom is under siege, not because people are storming the Capitol, but because Biden won and Trump is not the dictator, that Biden is the symbol for socialism when he's clearly a moderate and a mediocre politician. And all of which is to say, Greg, my point is, and I've wandered all over the place because I don't care about the politics. I'm telling you about the deeply human, personal thing that has happened, I imagine, all over Miami with families where we're looking at each other sideways and we can't even talk about this stuff. We're seeing totally different things when we talk about this stuff.
I'm going to seize on something that you said. I can't abide by you calling Joe Biden a mediocre politician when he's been a politician for 50 years, was a vice president, and received more votes than any president in an election history. What exactly about his career is mediocre?
You think that he is impressive as a leader and was chosen because of the merits of his politics?
No, I think he was chosen
political skill.
I think he was chosen because he was obviously older in his political career.
I'm just saying, didn't Stacey Abrams just save his entire presidency?
If he lost Georgia, he still would have won the election.
Before that, when we were still in the primaries, before that, when
it was James Clyburn from South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah, but he won, yes, in part because it was an indictment on Trump's presidency, but that doesn't mean you have to sideswipe a person who's had one of the more illustrious careers in U.S. politics history.
It's
just very critical of you, and I don't understand why he's mediocre.
Because I don't care about taking a side on this between Democrats and Republicans.
But you just did by calling him mediocre.
But did I?
Yeah.
Is it like public speaking, though?
Why is he a mediocre? Yeah. Is it the speech impediment, Dan? What is it about Joe Biden, our U.S. president, number 46, that you don't like?
Okay. Unimpressive?
I'm impressed by him. Now what?
I was agreeing with Dan, actually. You heard Obama talk for 8 years, and then you see Biden up there, and I kind of agree with Dan.
It's just public speaking. We just totally disregard the fact that he has a speech impediment, right? You going to be that guy? You bully?
Barack Obama's speech gave me more comfort than Joe Biden's speech.
No. Here's why Joe Biden's gave me more comfort. Is because it wasn't being delivered by Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Joe Biden was the best available option. And that's basically it. You're only as good as your options, Dan.
Yeah, let me give you some of my politics and show some opinion. I think he was the most electable one. And while he got the most votes in U.S. presidential history, Donald Trump absolutely enthused his base. That red wave that they were talking about, it was real. He got 75 million votes. He got more people to vote for him this time around, believe it or not, than 4 years ago. You needed someone that can bring that energetic base from the left, the Bernie supporters, the AOC, the more left part of your party. I'm not going to go there. You like to put labels on
the
stuff.
Socialists.
The democratic social, the self-billed democratic socialists. Let's go with that. You need a moderate to appeal to a lot of Republicans, because Donald Trump could never really get past the fact that there were Republicans that were so ashamed of how he was acting that voted for Joe Biden. When he's looking at, well, look at the number of registered Republicans and look who votes for Joe Biden. I'm a registered Republican. I registered Republican when I was 18. I haven't voted Republican in God knows when. But it's an indictment on what he was doing. That being said, if you hold up Joe Biden's political career, being in the Senate for, decades on end, being vice president for the first black president, being part of an administration that brought about Obamacare, he has a very impressive resume.
Okay, fair enough. I will walk it back. I will not say that he's a mediocre career politician.
You're going to get aggregated.
This is the reason. Why would I get aggregated?
You know what's happening here? You seize on me saying Bam Adebayo choked, and I'm coming for you.
Well, how do you feel about Cubans in politics, such as the Diaz-Balart brothers or Marco Rubio, who subscribe to
it's awful.
Republican?
It's awful. Look, I don't side with my people on this. That's the thing that I'm breaking against in Miami that I care about the way that I do. In this market that I've tried to prove at every turn that I really care and think it's important that people hear what Cubans think. It's why we look, man, if you were listening to South Beach Sessions, Billy Corbin and Adam McKay were put together to make a movie so that HBO quickly before the election could explain to people how it is and why it is that Cubans are conflicted on this subject, how I can be where I am and Jorge Masvidal is where he is. Like, what I was trying to explain it best I could. Billy Corbin, I thought, did a great job in the movie on HBO explaining to you how it is that Cubans arrive here. And he did so through the story of Elian, which is as lonely as I've ever felt in America, trying to explain to people how it is and why it is Miami is so much different than the rest of the country. I've never felt more like an alien, a foreigner in the only country I've ever been in America, I've ever lived in, than during the Elian stuff when I was trying to explain to America, basically, no, man, that kid needs to stay here. That kid needs to stay here. That his mother died. His mother died in the ocean trying to get him here. Yeah, his father is back in Cuba, but he needs to stay here. And America's like, what are you talking about? You got to send that kid back to his father. And Cubans were down here screaming, no, it's about freedom, man. Don't you understand? His mom died in the ocean, 90 miles away, like a whole bunch of people throwing their lives literally to the wind on tires to get to freedom. You got to let that kid stay here. And no, his father's in Cuba, but his father's not free. That kid will never grow up free. That kid's going to die in Cuba not knowing what it is to be free. You got to keep him here with his family. That's where it felt loneliest. And to see Marco Rubio being just that, one of those robots, ambition robots that my culture does a very good job of producing. Ambition monster robots. It's horrifying. It's horrifying to me to see that guy representing my city that way. But that's why I represent my city this way. It's what I'm trying to do with everything we're doing around here. I don't ride with this stuff in a way that's been very public and has caused me a great many problems. I don't ride with this stuff because I feel like America, with the freedoms handed down from my parents that I did not earn, they were given to me. They made all the sacrifices so that I wouldn't have to make one goddamn compromise in anything I ever did. They did that for me by getting to freedom. And I wasn't talking about that stuff over the last year as it threatened my freedom, my family, my work. And it was horrifying to experience the last year the way that we did.
Oh, we're playing all the hits today.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Plus, add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. No contracts to worry about and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
I'm sorry. It's so personal. Like, it is so goddamn personal.
You put your voice beautifully to it. I actually never knew that about you.
So is Kurt Schilling getting in or nah?
Isn't there a character clause or Moore's clause in these Hall of Fame votes?
There is, actually.
So there you go. But then again, Ty Cobb's in the Hall of Fame.
So, Greg, what are you going to do? Or what did you do? And what do you think should happen? Like, what are you rooting for? Because the part that's confusing to me, Greg, and this is something that gets tied up in...
I'm sorry, Roy, but what's a moral clause that we're invoking around Kurt Schilling? The fact that he's an asshole?
Well, no, it's not just because of that, because if that's the case, then Barry Bonds wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Well, I mean, he's not. So,
Wasn't there that
tax evasion? Well, I don't want to say tax evasion because we are live right now, or at least I'm in a dress rehearsal as if we are. But there was like some sort of bilking going on, but I think that's a bit of a reach. What's the bilking?
It's a character clause more than a morals clause.
What's the distinction?
That's for Kurt Schilling. Is that revolved around his video game company?
Yeah, I just it's a flimsy argument, though. A character clause on Kurt Schilling. Like, I don't have to. There's plenty of people that I think are jerks because of their politics, but I don't think that we can punish them via character clause just because we disagree with their politics.
And sometimes they get elected president.
Precisely.
Greg, but this is what's interesting about the Schilling thing to me, because wrapped up in I somehow became a person in 2015 that was arguing on behalf of the merits of the content factory that would be an anarchist Donald Trump winning an election. Like, I was rooting for just make a big giant mess, because surely this can't win. This won't win, right? It won't win. Just make a big mess in these debates and it can't win. It's never going to win. And yes, that's right. Laugh in my face. It's funny looked at from that perspective. And yet still, Greg, I want Curt Schilling at a live microphone making a Hall of Fame speech, even though I probably don't want to hear what it is that he has to say. I probably don't want to be anywhere near his politics. I still want the content factory that is Curt Schilling making a Hall of Fame speech. I like, and as an added bonus, I think he legitimately deserves, based on credentials that we should be judging, which are only on the field, only should be on the field, even though I find him awful in every way. If I still had a vote, I'd be casting it for Curt Schilling, but I lost my vote because I was casting it against moralizers like you who produced the steroid-tainted question. Do we still have that in our library? Can you get that? We need to bring that back, because Greg Cody's now he's a moderate about steroids. He's all softened, but he was right at the front of the pitchfork factory, buying up pitchforks, complaining, and kept coming on our show and doing what, Greg? Can you quote what it is that you said famously on our radio show?
You know, so that you're not putting words in my mouth, I'll speak for myself on this. I don't think that the Bonds and Clemens level athlete who had a steroid issue should be kept out, because they were so extraordinary beyond their steroid use and prior to their steroid use. With the borderline people, it should keep them out. Curt Schilling, I voted for Curt Schilling based on baseball merit. I would love it if he fell short and didn't get into the Hall of Fame, even though I voted for him, because I find him abhorrent. I find anyone abhorrent who looks at the January 6th U.S. Capitol raid as anything but insurrection, and who tries to justify it in any way. But I've that's not a dichotomy to me. I'm voting as a baseball writer, but I'm feeling as somebody who's on the liberal side of politics. You know what I'm saying?
I don't got the best memory, but I'm pretty sure that wasn't it.
Greg, I asked you to quote directly the phrase that I was talking about that for many years you carried around. I don't know what you just did there. Did you not understand my question?
She spoke for
2 minutes.
I don't
know the exact phrase. I don't know exactly what you're looking for.
You were about...
It's true that on my first ballot, I did not vote for Bonds and Clemens. I've only been a voter like 5 or 6 years. On my very first ballot, I did not vote for them. Because I wanted my first ballot to be pristine. I wanted to be proud of everybody I voted for. I changed my mind on Bonds and Clemens, and people do that. And I'm not the only voter who has, because their vote total has gone from about 30% to about 70% in the last 5 years.
Why did you vote for Billy Wagner?
I cast 9 votes. The maximum allowed is 10. Every year, not this year, when maybe nobody will get in, but most years, there are the 1 or 2 guys who are no-brainers. They're absolute first ballot guys. By the time you get down to your 7th or 8th or 9th vote, they're very debatable. They're arguable. And Billy Wagner was like that. The position is tough to get in the Hall of Fame.
You sound like an old crank.
That also wasn't the question. You've been talking for 4 minutes when the question was just this.
Do you think steroid-tainted guys like Clemens and Bonds should eventually make the Hall of Fame?
Your voice sounds so much younger there, Greg.
I didn't hear dichotomy once in that
like,
4 seconds.
Greg, that's what we were asking you for. Across a decade, we kept playing this question because it was your cliched sports radio question.
Do you think steroid-tainted guys like Clemens and Bonds should eventually make the Hall of Fame?
What the hell are you talking about?
You sound so crisp, so clear, not a cough in sight. Listen to you, young man.
Do you think steroid-tainted guys like Clemens and Bonds should eventually make the Hall of Fame?
You sound like Dennis Miller there, professional broadcaster. No rasp in your voice. Amazing.
Do you think steroid-tainted guys like Clemens and Bonds should eventually make the Hall of Fame?
I could play that question on a constant loop 400 times and still not match the length of what you thought your question was.
Yes, unbelievable. You did not understand at all what I was asking you, which is just to quote yourself, which I would have thought would have been in your wheelhouse given the narcissist that you are. Regardless, Greg, how great would it be if during Super Bowl week, again, this was the only question that we were asking the audience?
Do you think steroid-tainted guys like Clemens and Bonds should eventually make the Hall of Fame?
We did this for how many years? Was that the last question? That was one of my, I think that might be my favorite Greg Cody bit that we have ever done. There have been any number of them, right? Where we leave these silences on the radio and he gets furious and starts singing and he hangs up on us and just runs away. But I don't think I have something that I've enjoyed that you've done around here more, Greg, than putting that question in the middle of interviews that had no context. I'm pretty sure we did it sometimes with people who weren't even athletes, like entertainers and stuff. I bet you can find some funny people reacting to just that question falling out of the sky on somebody that as a non sequitur, because we would do it all the time talking. Did we ever do it to actors? Regardless, how do you not remember that, Greg?
Oh, I do remember it now, but I didn't know that's what you were looking for. That's a bit, you know, that's a bit. That's a funny bit, as you say. But my opinion on Bonds and Clements evolved. I don't know how else to put it.
Billy, so you were wrong initially, and now you're admitting that you were wrong, and now you're right. You were wrong, but you were not wrong about voting in Billy Wagner.
Well, I, like a lot of Hall of Fame voters,
ask my kids every year who they think they should vote for.
I do, because I respect you and Michael's knowledge of baseball, and I ask your opinion. Does that become my ballot? Of course not. And if you'd rather I didn't ask your opinion, beginning next year,
just
I won't.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
But there's something sacrosanct and pristine to me about the first ballot vote.
Oh, well, again with this?
Yes.
Okay, again? All right,
you know,
go ahead.
You're a former voter. You lost your vote in scandal. So naturally, you would
okay,
have a
problem.
But
go ahead. You want to again make the same point that you were making about the first ballot and why it needs to be pristine, even though I think if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer, and it doesn't have to, you know, vary by the whims of an old sports writer who's asking his kids whether or not. Like, wouldn't it be great if Curt Schilling, I wish you'd said you hadn't voted for Curt Schilling, and then he lost by one vote. Because this is the stuff. This is the sanctimony I'm talking about. Pristine first ballots and all that nonsense. Curt Schilling was great. He was great, and he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. It doesn't need to be judged by the judges.
That's an opinion. He's a borderline candidate, which is the large reason why he's been on the ballot 8 years and hasn't gotten in, because the majority of voters see him as a borderline candidate whose induction is arguable.
Mike, do you think that the greatest question in show history, it can't be, it's got to be Greg Cody asking steroid-tainted Bonds, Clemens, no?
Not remotely, and it's getting to be that time of year. This is the true number one.
What's the single most important thing the Falcons have to do to beat the Patriots?
Yeah.
It's King of the Mountain.
Yeah,
right there.
That's right. It is. You think we can, I think we should mix it up. I think we should ask our two best questions during Super Bowl week, and you never know which one's coming. Is it going to be this one?
What's the single most important thing the Falcons have to do to beat the Patriots?
And we'll change it up. Right. Yes. Nobody ever asked Greg. That's so right. I can't believe that I didn't cite that. Greg, it's been three times in 3 years that somebody has worried about, hey, are you okay? Everyone else just blows through and answers the question.
Do you think steroid-tainted guys like Clemens and Bonds should eventually make the Hall of Fame?
We got to do that. We have to do it, Mike.
This is a rare Tuesday where Greg sounds better than you.
I'm sorry. I blew out my voice in the first segment of the show. Crank, what kind of rattlesnake of a laugh was that? What is going on with your voice?
It's a death rattle.
It really is.
Yeah.
You're in no position to mock anyone's voice here, Greg. And are you not in any way shamed by what it is that we're talking about here? You have been the cartoonish, buffoonish, sacrosanct, sacred voter that everyone hates over the last 15 minutes, talking about the pristineness of your first ballot.
My first ballot was special to me. I never thought I would be a Hall of Fame voter. I was honored to finally get the vote after being a BBWAA member for 10 years. And I was proud of that first ballot, and I didn't want any blemish on my first ballot. And back then, my opinion was, if you've had any steroid pass whatsoever, you don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I've evolved on that.
Greg, why do you talk about your first ballot like it's your virginity? Why do you talk about it?
It is, in a way.
You're talking about it. It was a special time in my life. I was honored. Like, what are you doing?
It's very quick.
I found a better question, by the way.
I asked my sons what to do.
I know where my son made whoopee. I found a better, more famous question in our show's history, of course.
No. You love sandwiches, huh?
That's the king of the mountain.
You love sandwiches, huh? You love sandwiches, huh?
All right, Mike, those three. Virtual Super Bowl week. This is what I'm telling you. We're just going to lob those three questions at whoever the crappy guest is that we're going to do. We're going to do Super Bowl week. We're going to do it this year where we're just going to make more fun of it than we ever have by just lobbing these three questions in no particular order.
Do you think steroid-tainted guys like Clemens and Bond should eventually make the Hall of Fame?
What's the single most important thing the Falcons have to do to beat the Patriots? You love sandwiches, huh?
I think that that's the great way to fly into a new contract and free agency. I think just ruining Super Bowl week by just asking those questions. Do we have a guest booker? Are we paying a guest booker?
No, you want to?
Well, how are we going to do Super Bowl week?
We have a guest booker and that we're texting our friends.
No, I know that Billy does hard work on guest booking, but guest booking is a really hard thing. Allison was very good at it. And when we had Allison at Disney, she taught us a lot of things and helped us. She was doing it for many, many years. I meant it's somewhat, Billy's got enough things on his plate. Do we have a guest booker so that Billy doesn't have to do so much of that anymore?
I'm looking. Who do you think we have? A guest booker? No, it's us.
Secret employees right now.
We've got Chris Whittingham was in the shadows, and then from one moment to the next, Chris Whittingham, you can see him and hear him in the shadows, and so we don't have a
He's
lot
got
of,
such a great laugh in the background,
he
man.
Does. But a secret employee, for example, that we're going
to
introduce the audience to is Bimmel. Bimmel. They're going to start asking. Bimmel is Mr. Wolf. This guy, like, we're going to start introducing you to some of the people around here or helping us build this thing in real time in your face and with some people hidden in the shadows. And Greg Cody of the Miami Herald knows nothing, and we can't talk about it around him. And he wants nothing. He's sniffing around the show just because he wants the scoop. But you do realize here, Greg, how musty your Hall of Fame opinions sound, right? That you are the very thing that I left the Hall of Fame because of. You realize that, although you've come around, and now you have the vote and I don't.
No, I don't acknowledge what you're saying. I think I'm a good voter, a conscientious voter, and I don't really know what you're talking about when you say that I'm a musty voter who represents what people hate about Hall of Fame voting. I don't understand that. Explain it to me.
Well, you voted for Jeff Bagwell because your kids told you to, because he was their favorite athlete, and he might be guilty of some of the same steroid stuff that you chased Barry Bonds and Clemens around for, and they were better than he was, not by a little bit either, and they were kept out of the Hall of Fame.
Right.
By you and your vote.
You may have not heard me earlier when I said I vote for Bonds and Clemens.
But you didn't from the beginning. You changed your mind on that.
That's true. And maybe you've never in your life changed your mind about anything. I'm not ashamed to admit.
But how can you dispute what I'm saying, that the very thing that I left the club for is the very thing you were doing when you got the vote at the beginning? Yes, you can change your mind and you can be wrong and that is all nice, but I'm not saying anything that's not factual.
About me changing my mind? Look.
No, Greg, I got out of the club because people thought about the club the way you did at the beginning. You got your vote in the club and you voted for Bagwell with an inconsistency and a hypocrisy that wasn't applied to guys you were keeping out like Barry Bonds, who was a good deal better than Jeff Bagwell. You were what I was objecting to. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to explain it to you so you understand that what's objectionable about what I'm saying, it's factual.
I cast a conscientious ballot. I don't always cast a perfect one. Never have I thought that Jeff Bagwell was a better hitter than Barry Bonds. And for personal reasons, I didn't vote for Bonds that first year. I actually don't remember voting for Jeff Bagwell, to be honest with you, although if you say I did, I probably did. But I don't remember that because he certainly would have been the 9th or 10th guy on my ballot. Some voters don't. That's why it's very difficult to get 100% on anybody. Babe Ruth didn't get 100%. Some voters don't vote for the guy who's automatically going to get in because they want to use their vote down ballot. Contrarily, some people vote as their 10th guy. you know, Juan Pierre. I didn't vote for Juan Pierre, but I almost wish I had, just so he would have gotten one vote. Things like that happen. But when you have a consensus of 500 voters, generally you get the right decision.
When did you change your mind on Bonds and Clemens? Was it your second ballot?
I believe it was. I think I voted for Bonds and Clemens.
Is there a record of this since you say you make your ballot public? I'd really like to know whether you spent several years in this position, because the reason you were asking that question as a joke on our show is because we were making fun of you for what felt like to me years of this position. I think you're looking back on it more favorably to yourself now because you've chosen the right side of history. Do I have this wrong? Is there a possibility that I have this right, that it's been 4 or 5 years where you were voting against Bonds and you simply don't remember?
No, that's incorrect.
It is incorrect. Greg Cody first voted in 2014 for Bagwell, Glavin, Maddox, and Thomas. 2015, he voted for Bagwell, Biggio, Bonds, Clemens, Garcia, Parra, Johnson, Martinez, Mussina, Sheffield, and Smoltz.
So it was one year yes, where you got it wrong, and then you corrected your mistake because you are a heroic voter and a fine person and an upstanding, noble keeper of the Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.